I'm talking to Winnie Armstrong. Winnie, you're here just outside Clarence Court. What's the name of the place I'm in?
Letterbrain. Yeah. Letterbrain.
And the name of the townsland is?
Letterfrand.
Letter what?
Letterfrand.
I see. And so have you lived here all your life?
I've been here since 1956.
So you married in here?
Yes, I married in here. But I just lived about 10 minutes away.
And what
from
was your,
here.
What was your maiden name?
Humphreys. Winnie Humphreys.
And also from a farming background, was
yes,
it?
Yes, I was.
And so, tell me, what was it like just growing up here? You were born in what year?
1930.
In 1930. So what was it like growing up in the 40s and 50s, long before any troubles?
Very nice. You know, there's no troubles. I went to school. I mixed with Catholics and Protestants in Corryglass School. There was never any trouble between us. In fact, I had wonderful friends and have wonderful friends since from that school. There never was any trouble at that time.
What school did you go to?
Corryglass.
And who taught you?
Mrs. Thornton.
Was she a tough lady?
Yes, she was. You got a slap on the ear and put in the corner.
And so did you leave school then at 14?
I left school at 16 and then I went to work in West A.G. Elliott's when I was 17. And I stayed there for 9 years.
Was that a factory or a...?
No, a household and clothing department, clothes.
Oh, I see.
Clothes shop.
And so talk to me then, in 1969 and 1970 when the troubles started to break out. What was your first experience of the Troubles?
I suppose shooting people. Well, first and foremost, there was the on the border. You had to there was checkpoints on the roads that time, and you were stopped and searched. And then the B-men were out that time. Was what they called the B-men. They were out and they stopped and searched too. And then the UDR started. And that was the same time.
So that started all, and that became the norm then.
Yes, it did.
You had all these checkpoints.
Yes,
along
it
the
did.
Road.
Uh-huh, yeah. It did.
And like you said, you had a lot of shootings and so on. So
yes.
When did it start to hit near home? You know, when did for example, you listen to the radio and there was a bombing or a shooting. When did it actually start here in Florence County?
Well, I suppose it was the actual first we thought was the time the Bullocks were shot at Darrell Inn, Tom and Emily Bullock. We went to that funeral. I think that's what really hit you at that time, because they had been at a farm, Darlings, and I had been at school with some of the Darlings, but they hadn't got any of them. By good luck, the man, John Darry, he was down in the field, and they asked the sister where was he, and she said he wasn't there. And then they went to Little's, I think, and he got out through the window. You know, but that was the first experience we really had. After that, it was just one after the other. You know, and then Johnny Fletcher, we had heard about him.
Yeah.
You know, and then Funston's there from Keish.
What did that start to do? Did you start mistrusting your neighbour or suspicious about people locally?
Not really. The neighbours we had, like, were very good neighbours. You couldn't mistrust them. You know, I would never think of mistrusting any of them. But if something had happened to me, I think I'd have went out and done the same thing.
Yeah. And so what was your husband's name?
Jim.
And did Jim join the UDR?
Yeah, he was in the B-men. He was. Well, it was much the same as the UDR.
Yeah.
It was.
And so by daytime he was farming and
yes,
by night time
right.
He put on his uniform.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And were you... you were at home. Were you on your own at the time... You know, when he was out, were you alone or were you...?
Well, I was alone for a few years then when the two boys were born, Trevor and Roy.
Yeah.
But I had no fear. I don't know why. No.
And were you worried about
him coming home? Maybe not coming home. No, yeah. I had no fear.
Did
no,
you not?
I hadn't, no.
Yeah. And so the... Do you know your neighbours then, some of them suffered awful atrocities and shootings and so on. Because you had a farm here, you know, you were milking cows.
Yes, that's right.
So who collected your milk in
Matthew
the morning?
Matthew Lilly collected the milk every morning. And as he went up the road about 10 minutes away from here, he was lifting the milk off the stand, put onto the lorry, and he was shot. Luckily, he had no children with him that day.
And how many children did he have?
Four. Three boys and a girl.
And so it was a young family.
Yes.
And what was his wife's name, do you remember?
Etta Lilly, I think it was E-T-T-A, Etta Lilly.
Oh, where did they live?
They just lived down the road from us here on the Myburn Road.
Okay, so that they were your neighbours?
Yes, they were.
And were they friends of yours as well? So
yes, they used to go to our church here.
And he was part-time member of the UDR?
Yes, he was.
A member with Jim? Were they together, or do you know?
No, he wouldn't. I don't think, no, he wouldn't have been with Jim. No, he wouldn't.
And why, yeah, go on.
No, he wouldn't have been with Jim now. No, he wouldn't.
Yeah. And so, the morning he was shot, the milk was, he would have been here about this time.
Yes, we'd be around half 9 or 10 o'clock, yes, that's right. He lifted the milk just across the street there from us.
You mean down at the
there,
beginning?
Just across there. So I could see him lifting the milk onto the...
Okay, so he had to come up along your
drive. Yes, he had to
drive.
Come along, yes, he had.
My goodness, and 10 minutes later he was shot.
About 10 minutes later, yes, that's right.
Did that scare you? Were you frightened by that?
I wasn't frightened, but I thought it was just terrible.
Because that was the violence coming to your
yes,
front door.
Yes, it was, yes, that's right. Well, I wasn't frightened now. I just didn't think that anything would ever happen to us.
Yeah.
But it was just terrible to think that he was shot.
And he must have been a young man in his 30s or so.
Yes, he probably would have been.
Yeah. So that particular incident that shook the neighbourhood here.
Yes, it did.
Were there other murders that happened in the area? Were there other people shot like him?
Well, not just in Letterbreen, but there was Derry Gonley and Garrison. Yes, there was.
Yeah, and there were hot spots all around.
Yes,
here.
Yeah. There would have been, yes. Yeah.
And in your husband, Jim, he was going to the mart one morning.
Yes, one Saturday morning, he's going to the Garrison Mart. And just as he went round the corner in Garrison, there's a grocery shop. And Alec McLennan was taking bread out of the lorry to bring into the shop, and he was shot.
And did your husband come right across?
Well, he wasn't at the exact time that it happened, but he just came on it afterwards. And I think Alec was lying on the ground.
Is he still alive?
Well,
Jim didn't talk
no,
about that,
no,
did he?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. No.
Yeah. But he knew the man?
Yes, we knew him very well. Yes, we did.
Another neighbour, was he?
Well, he lived at Florence Court, but we knew him very well. He used to come to the church sometimes, to different service that was on the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a member of your community?
Yes, he would have been, yes.
Was that Church of Ireland or was it Presbyterian?
He was Methodist. He was a Methodist up at Florence Court, and then he used to come down at special services down at Letterbreen here. Him and the wife used to come down to them.
I see, to the Church of Ireland?
To the Methodist Church.
Oh, to the Methodist
Church,
sorry.
Yes, that's right.
Fair. And how big or how small was your community of...
Well, there'd been about roughly 60 going to the Methodist there, and maybe the same going to the Church of Ireland.
Yeah. And were you a member of...
I was a member of the Methodist Church.
Yeah. And can you recall your preacher's name?
At that particular time?
Yes, I know, it's
no,
a big question. Yeah.
I can't remember his name at that time, no.
Yeah. Were any of those... members of the church, were they ever targeted? Did you ever hear stories about?
No, not that I know of. No.
Yeah.
No.
But that would be an opportunity for all the community to come together, I suppose, and to share the news that
that would have been
out there.
And we attended any funerals that was on there, just to show respect for them.
Yeah, and there must have been quite a few.
Yes, unfortunately. Yes, that's right. Yes. And then my husband was coming one night down. Well, I wasn't with him now. He was coming down from Garrison, and he was stopped. And something had happened up there, and it was IRA had stopped him. But they let him go on then. He wasn't the right man, I suppose, that they wanted. So we let him come on.
And did he know that he was a member of the IRA, or did he?
Well, they had masks on them when they stopped him. But then the police came out here then. He rang the police, and they came out to interview him, but there was really nothing could be done. You know.
But just on that particular night, your husband wasn't the man to be shot?
No.
And they left him go?
Yes, they let him go.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
It is. Yes. In fact, that policeman that interviewed us, he was shot in Enniskillen about a month afterwards.
And was he killed?
Yes, he was. But I wouldn't think it had anything to do with interviewing us now. I wouldn't think so, no.
So it was a lottery. You know, you could be shot one night and
yes,
then
you could.
The next
yes,
night.
That's right, you could.
Did that kind of change your personality, change your husband's personality in any way?
Not really, no.
It didn't harden.
We never had anything against our Catholic neighbours. I mean, they never done anything on us. And they would come to help you out on the farm, which we would do the same to them. You know, no, we had never anything against the Catholic neighbours. But saying that, if Jim had been shot, my attitude would have been different, probably.
Yeah. And have you any idea why they did let him go that night?
I think they must have been looking for somebody else. And just, I wasn't with him, thankfully, but he was just coming down himself in the car.
And was he in a uniform?
No. Oh, no, he wasn't. Yeah. Oh, no, he wasn't.
He wasn't on duty that
night?
No,
he wasn't. No.
Yeah.
No, he'd just been up visiting somebody in Garrison, probably, and was just coming back down again.
Imagine. Yeah. And you were telling me about the milkman. He lost his life.
And, yes, that's
and
right.
And then you were the postman who came here in the mornings. I mean, was there ever a threat against the postman? Or?
No.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't. No.
And were you kind of conscious of the fact that if you crossed down the border into Southern Ireland, that you know you were going into a different place? And
well, funny enough, we never did go across the border. Not very often. Now we didn't. We used to go to Bundoran, but I think we kind of stopped that. Mm. You know, but I don't know. It never really worried me that much. But then when Jim would be done, the forces, you didn't cross, of course. You didn't go across the border. Anyone that was on the forces wouldn't cross the border. It was your life wasn't safe.
Yeah.
That's just it.
But that constant threat on your life then, was that part of everyday living that you would have a routine? You get up in the morning, you'd look underneath your car, see was there a bomb underneath the car. Did you, were you being extra careful?
Well, we didn't. But Jim left the, he left the B-men then, and not for any reason, just but he just left them. But no, it wasn't any reason of the troubles or anything, he just left. But no, we wouldn't have never done anything like that. But there was a neighbour over there, Thomas Carson. Well, he was on the police reserve, and he lived over just over the main road there. And there was a bomb put under his care, and his wife went that morning down to the shop, and she had one of the wee girls with her, and she came back again. And then he went down, he headed off then to Enniskillen. And when he was going down Queen Street towards the barrack, they saw the bomb hanging from the car, which was so lucky for them.
Never went off, yeah.
Never went off, no. No, it didn't.
Imagine, it, you know, when you think about it, it could have gone off that morning.
It could have gone off, it could have killed the wife and the wee girl, that's right.
Yeah. There's so many stories like that where life is hanging on a balance, isn't
that's
it?
That's right.
But, do you know, it must have put you on edge. You know, I know you say that you're a strong person and that you it hasn't affected you as much.
Well, no, it didn't affect me. I felt sorry for when it happened to people, you know, but it wouldn't have affected me because it hadn't happened to me. You see, that's the thing. I think when it happens to you or belonging to somebody or a friend of yours, I think that would be worse.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that you haven't been directly affected.
I wasn't directly affected, no. I wasn't, no.
And so, so the area here would be probably, the farming community would be predominantly Protestant farming.
Yes, it is.
So, did the community kind of pull together? Was that something that you witnessed?
Well, we had church, yes, there every Sunday morning, and it'd just be the usual service, and that was it. And yeah. Then we came home afterwards.
Was there a sense of kind of keep, if you keep your head down, that you know, and don't be boasting or talking about your neighbours, that this helps to keep danger away? Some people would have told me that.
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
No.
You've never been afraid to speak out?
Well, if there was a Catholic, if I was talking to a Catholic, I would never say anything to them about the troubles. Would that be what you'd mean?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
And why?
I don't know. Just keep your mouth shut.
It's because you couldn't trust them, or?
Well, families around here, you can trust them, but you never talked about the troubles much to them.
Yeah.
You know.
It's interesting that I'm just asking you these questions to try and find out in my own mind.
I know.
Was there a divide there between the two communities? And, you know, you felt maybe different towards them, that, you know?
Not really.
Yeah.
You just got on with them. No, not really.
Yeah. And I suppose, you know, the today marks the 30th anniversary of the
that's right.
bombing in Enniskillen. That must have affected you.
Yes, it did. Because there's Mullins there, Billy Mullin and the wife, they were our chemists, and that really affected us. and the son lives up there near Florence Court. And yes, that was terrible that day. It really did affect us. It did. In fact, I think that affected everybody that day. That was just terrible. Because they weren't actually getting... The bomb that was planted there wasn't meant to get soldiers. Because there was no soldiers there that day. The people were standing against that wall, the like of me. And I was not, but and then that wall came out, and that was just the ordinary people that got that day, not soldiers. Or PSNI or anything like that, or OUC.
What was going through your mind then? Who were you? You must tell me.
I would have liked to went out and shot a lot of people. I would. But that was just terrible.
Yeah.
It wasn't for soldiers that day or UC. It was just the ordinary people that were standing there for a service, which was held every year.
Mm-hmm. And did that make you think that those people from the south, how desperate they were?
Yes.
Or who did you blame? If you were to shoot somebody, who would you shoot?
Oh dear. I don't know. I can't say that.
Sorry, I shouldn't have asked you that. It's just, I thought you would have said the IRA. Or
oh, well, I probably would, yes, but who are the IRA? You see, my neighbour could have been the IRA, but I didn't know that, maybe. You see, that's the thing.
But that's the mistrust, you see. I mean, that...
Yes, well, yes. No, that day really put it to you that the IRA were really going out for people.
Yeah.
Matter who they were. It just wasn't the... Well, yes, there was members on the UDR. Yes, but they mightn't have been there that day. You see, it wasn't just the ordinary UDR people. It was just ordinary civilians was there that day.
Yeah.
And that's what really... I think that's what really put the mistrust then into your head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And... How did you, your family, you have a boy and a girl, or?
Two boys.
And how did they feel about it, or how?
They felt the same way as me. And to be quite honest to you, if either of my two boys or my husband would have been shot, I'd have felt like going out and shooting somebody. And that's the way I would, and I would have said that if any would have asked me. I'm sorry to have to say that. But I couldn't have said what Gordon Wilson said, that I forgive them. I couldn't forgive them.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't do that.
Nobody has ever been held really accountable.
No.
And does that upset you?
It does, yes. Because I really think they do know. But whether they can really put a name on them, or whether they can really lift, probably maybe there's a lot of them dead maybe now, I don't know. You see, that's what I can't understand.
Do you think that there's still just under the surface that there's still a mistrust?
Yes, I do.
Why do you say that?
Because there's too much things happening at the moment. You have, well, maybe not round here, but further up the country, you've still, well, they're not supposed to be the IRA now, but the dissident Republicans. I mean, they are still setting bombs on their cars, and they're shooting people in the legs. And then that day that the bomb was in Enniskillen, so... Fortunately, it didn't go off at Tullyhaman out by Pettigo, because it was all Girls Brigade and Boys Brigade children that day, and the bomb didn't go off, luckily, because if it would, there could have been dozens of young children blew up. Yeah, that's And I think that was the day that really finished out, that you lost faith in everybody, I think, that day.
Winnie, it's just, it's so interesting. I'm delighted I came here this morning to talk to you, because
I hope I'm able to tell you something.
Yeah, no, it's putting all these stories together that really...
Oh my goodness.